You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is radio the way it should be heard.
It starts in the ocean, and when I start my day, look slick, shower. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water, the water. Always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter. Take her swimming, you gotta make these opposites back up.
Hello, this is TalkTainmentRadio.com, and you're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and our topic today is the mission and purpose of the Junior League of Columbus. And here to discuss the Junior League of Columbus is our guest, Kara Newberry, the president of the Junior League of Columbus. Welcome, Kara.
Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Pettigrew.
Oh, we're so delighted to have you. Are you having a good day?
I am, thank you. It's a little humid and muggy outside, but you can't complain when you wake up, and you can't complain when the sun is out. So I hope that you're having
so
a great
true.
Day
that
as well.
That is so true. And I'm enjoying this day. I spent a little time on the front porch preparing until the UPS men drove up, and I had to come in because of masks and all of the things that we're talking about with COVID. Well, it's wonderful to have you on the show, and I am a sustainer, I have to tell our listeners, for the Junior League, in the Junior League, and I'm just thrilled about this organization, and I can't wait to start talking about it. Now, the first thing I want to ask you is, what is the Junior League of Columbus, and when did it start?
Absolutely. The Junior League of Columbus, and of course, the Junior League of Columbus is one of just, now I think that there are 293 leagues throughout the world under the Association of Junior Leagues International, but the Junior League of Columbus was established in 1923. So we are working hard gearing up for our centennial here in a few years, which is exciting. But the Junior League of Columbus, our mission, we are an organization of women committed to promoting volunteerism, developing the potential of women, and improving our communities through the effective action and leadership of trained volunteers. Now, what does that mean? We are helping, you know, train women and so that they can then give back to their community.
I think that's just wonderful. And I was looking at a copy of the minutes that you send out, and it was announcing some training that you were offering to the women, and it was on small group funding. It was training opportunity for AJLI upcoming webinar. You do a lot of webinars, don't you?
Well, as you know, right now, everyone's having to be fairly nimble and creative with our efforts. So, you know, as we can't really gather in large groups as we would love to do and prefer to see everybody in person, we are, you know, pivoting and having more webinars, having more conference calls, and meeting virtually in, you know, the day and age of COVID-19.
Well, I think that's wonderful, and it works very well. I, I'm on a couple of prayer groups that we meet on Zoom, and it's really wonderful. So it's work. Technology is a blessing, and so we're glad we have it in these times. Well, this webinar, has it occurred? It is We Can Do This, Meeting Your Fundraising Goals with Limited Woman Power. Have you had that webinar yet?
So the Association of Junior Leagues International, they put on what they call Webinar Wednesdays. And so we just take advantage and offer up to our membership those webinars that are put on through AGLI. So they are only open and available to, you know, current members of the Junior League. It is one of the nice resources that we do have available. Here in Columbus, we offer special training to our members as well. So, you know, earlier this year we had a general membership meeting where we had sustainers, sustainers are members who can contribute as much as they want in the league, but don't have, you know, an active placement. They don't have set requirements that they must fulfill for the year, as you well know, being a sustainer, Dr. Pettigrew. But we had a really lovely panel of sustainers this fall, talk to our members and engage with them and answer questions about, you know, other nonprofits that those members went on to be involved with in the Central Ohio community, how their experience in the league translated to, you know, help them with their leadership roles in the greater Columbus community. And so that was a great training opportunity, learning from our other members for the league. And then we had another general membership meeting training in January where we had Franklin County Children's Services come in and provide some education on foster care, since the foster care community is our new community focus. Specifically, we are targeting our efforts on youth that are aging out of the foster community.
Well, that's wonderful, and I'm really excited about that program. It's so needed. And in our second hour, we'll let our listeners hear more in detail about the Bridge program, because it is so important and so very needed as young people age out of foster care. Well, you all really do cover training volunteers for leadership very, very extensively. And I think it's wonderful that the league is privy to such national resources as well as local resources, and using the resources within the organization also. So I think it's wonderful. There are a number of projects that you do to serve the community. Some are direct service, in other words, directly with the people, the community, and then some are in partnership. And the one that I think about, and one of your older ones, is the Kelton House. I remember when we began to talk about leasing the Kelton House and what it would do, and began having our meetings there. So can you share some about the Kelton House?
Absolutely. And, you know, the Kelton House is an amazing part of history in Columbus. So, I would encourage your listeners who have not visited the Kelton House yet to, you know, do please try and go to the Kelton House. We will resume operations, I believe, on July 1st. So the governor did announce recently that museums could reopen, and I believe that we are planning on resuming operations to the public on July 1st. But the Kelton House Museum and Garden is just a wonderful historic home in Columbus that you can tour. It was built in the mid-1800s, and it is just a wonderful place. We also hold events there. There are a lot of, you know, special programs. Unfortunately, we had to cancel, you know, some of our programming this spring due to COVID-19, but we had a program on the schedule for, you know, 100 years of women's suffrage, which I was really looking forward to. But the Kelton House Museum and Garden is just really a fascinating property, and it was part of the Underground Railroad. And so we have, you know, special tours that are provided to student groups, and you can also, the general public, I believe, can book those tours as well for their groups, but, you know, specifically targeted to how, you know, the property served on the Underground Railroad, and then there was a young girl who came through and actually ended up marrying someone who had worked for the Keltons. So there's just some really neat history there to the family. And it was also a home that was lived in by Grace Kelton, the last, you know, member of the Kelton family that lived in the home until the, you know, late 1960s. And so that's why until the 1960s. And so that's why we you know, stepped up, as you well know, when the Columbus Foundation here locally was looking for an organization to help, you know, fix up and run the home. And the Junior League of Columbus stepped up and has been managing it and running it ever since, so for 40 years.
I think it's wonderful. Let's continue talking about Kelton House. Where is it located?
The Kelton House is located at 586 East Town Street, which, you know, it's kind of interesting to me because, you know, here in the year 2020, we all think of that as fairly central to downtown. But back in the day, back in the 1850s, that was considered out in the country.
Yes, it was.
Yes, you probably have more stories to share about that.
Well, the interesting thing, the thing that is fascinating about that whole area is that it was a part of the Underground Railroad. And that's amazing that that corridor was a part of that, and the house lived in by the Kelton family didn't they have free slaves that were there who worked for them as servants?
Absolutely.
Yes, and they did a lot for them, and they were involved in abolition. So it's a wonderful story. I was looking here at the Kelton House newsletter, the Keltonian, which is their separate newsletter, and it talks about the Girl Scouts earning a patch for attending, is it workshops or various classes at the Kelton House? Can you tell us a little bit about that? Or I can read about it a little bit here.
Yeah, there are specific programs, you're right, available to Girl Scouts. I do want to just make one correction to what I said earlier.
Please.
I said something about the 60s. I don't know why I was stuck in the 60s, but you were probably doing the math in your head and thinking 40 years, that would be 1980.
That's right.
Grace Kelton died in 1975.
Okay.
And then the Junior League of Columbus got involved in 1976, working, you know, hard to renovate and restore the home and garden to create this, you know, museum of 19th century life. And, you know, there are all sorts of educational programs available, you know, for children. Once again, due to COVID, had to, you know, they didn't really get to do the, you know, school tours that they are accustomed to doing in the spring. It's kind of interesting because, you know, when I was a fourth grader, I remember going to the Kelton House Museum for a field trip. And I'm dating myself. I'm 40 years old, but, you know, so 30 years ago, taking that tour and doing the same things that the children get to do today, which is just, I think, so important for the youth in our community to, you know, not only learn national history and even Ohio history, but you know, to really learn about what's going on locally in their community.
That's right. And I like this sentence in the Keltonian when they talk about the programs that educate the community about the Underground Railroad Learning Station program. And it's quite comprehensive. And I'm sure it's going to return. But I'm also thinking that for the Girl Scouts and for some of the Underground Railroad programs, they can be put on technology. They can be virtual. So there again is another opportunity to use technology until we have a vaccine for COVID-19. But right here they talk about our goal is to develop understanding and empathy in today's children so they will respect the multiracial efforts that saved the lives of innumerable fugitive slaves at a turning point in America's history. And isn't that wonderful? Because we hear a lot these days about empathy or the lack thereof and developing that in human beings. And we all know that that's a very important attribute to have. So I thought I would just read that there. And you mentioned the gardens. Well, my husband and my son and I have a butterfly garden in our yard, and we love trees and all of the things that nurture birds and butterflies and nature. In fact, have a certification by one source as a sanctuary and another source, Federal Wildlife Association, we have a certification as a nature habitat. So we're really into it. And what I loved was reading. I've seen the beautiful gardens many times and even conducted a wedding there, but of all the commitment to keeping the gardens and the historical plants there. So that would be something people would just love to come and see just for that, wouldn't it?
Well, and I think that is a great, and, you know, people are walk through the gardens all the time. So between Franklin Avenue and Town is the garden in the middle there. And it's just a beautiful sanctuary. We had a very generous donation within the last year that allowed us to really clean up the garden and get it in just beautiful shape. And then there's actually a group of Junior League women who are volunteering this Saturday to plant some flowers that were donated and just to do some, you know, late spring, early summer sprucing. So to make sure that the garden is as beautiful as possible. But yeah, the garden is a great place for people who want to, you know, get a taste of the Kelton House property. It's a little easier to do some social distancing in the garden and, you know, of course, probably a little safer to be outside if you're, you know, concerned about spreading COVID-19. So, you know, I would definitely encourage everyone to come check out the gardens when you're available. It's beautiful. As you said, you know, it's a great backdrop for weddings. You know, we're unfortunately once again not having a lot of weddings there this summer because it's pretty difficult to socially distance, you know, like 100 people back there. But, you know, for individuals or small families who would like to come through, it really is looking quite, I was just over there last night, it's really looking quite beautiful right now.
They are beautiful. And the thing I was thinking is you're opening in July 1st, and if people wanted to just make a quick trip down, I'm sure you'll have a procedure for entry, wearing masks, social distancing, and just go and sit. You know, when we were coming along all into nature as a family and all of that, we knew that being immersed in creation and contributing to its beauty and its animals and it and all was an important thing, but there wasn't a lot of research out. But now there is research out that gets to the general public about how being in nature, just a few minutes, can help with stress and de-stress. And so I see the Kelton Garden as contributing to mental health as well as just the wonderful bathing oneself in the beauty of nature. So that's all out there now in the research. And in fact, I know a club, they're having a webinar where they're going to be talking about how to establish butterfly gardens and how and the science of how nature helps to helps us to deal with stress and is very spiritual activity. So I just had to bring up the gardens because I think it's so important. You know, I wanted to ask you, Kara, were you aware that the Junior League had initiated a long time ago the planting of the topiary garden?
Well, I was just gonna mention that for those making the trip downtown.
Yeah,
we're about a block from the Topiary Park, so it would be great to hit both of those beautiful public park and gardens at the same time in the what we call now the Discovery District downtown.
That's right.
Yeah,
and I know that when I look at the postcard, the mission of the Kelton House is to interpret local history, which we've talked about, the Victorian history and furnishings of the Kelton House and what went on there, the weddings and all of that, as well as the Underground Railroad. And that educates the community, and it's a part of training volunteers as well as the public. So I just think we have a treasure in the for the community in the name of the and the work of the Kelton House, and I'm really pleased to see how it's gone on, and I look forward to it having its teas and its dramas and that sort of thing in a year or so once we have a vaccine and we feel we see what the scientists say about COVID-19, right?
Absolutely. And we do have, you had mentioned earlier, virtual learning opportunities. And we do have a video that is available, a video tour of the Kelton House. And we are also pursuing other, maybe more targeted tours. So could we potentially do a video tour that is, discussing primarily the work of the Underground Railroad in Central Ohio and specifically that area, on Town Street where the Kelton House is located? Or could we, could we do a tour, more specific to the garden, for instance? So, the Junior League is looking at other ways that we can provide some virtual education while, we're still, as you said, waiting for a vaccine. And I know that a lot of people, including myself, are not as anxious to, be out and about.
That's right. I'm not either.
Prior to COVID.
I'm not either. Well, another thing I was excited about is the ABC Backpack Project. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So, it's kind of the year for anniversaries for the Junior League of Columbus. As we mentioned, the Kelton House Museum and Garden celebrated its 40th anniversary this year, and the Adopt a Backpack for Children Project celebrated its 20th anniversary.
Isn't that amazing? Congratulations to all of that.
Thank you. And this year, even with our fundraising being somewhat curtailed due to COVID-19, so we only hosted one fundraiser specific to the Adopt a Backpack for Children project, but we were still able to raise enough money to purchase 2,400 supply-filled backpacks for use in Central Ohio. That we will be giving out, and that brings our 20-year total to 57,400 backpacks.
Oh, so that is wonderful. And you know something? I remember I had gone sustainer at the time, getting a call from one of the first chairs to make a donation of a backpack, and it was so wonderful. And at the time, the Junior League, at least here in Columbus, was the only organization that was filling backpacks, and that was the case for a number of years. And then I'd say maybe 10 years later, other groups began to do that, and it caught on. And that's really very much the legacy of the Junior League. They begin projects, and then other organizations, other people catch on to them and replicate them and do them. Or they used to give grants, start a project, say like Childhood League back in the day, and then after 5 years, I believe it was, they expected that project to be on its own funding and all that, which they became, right. You know, self-funding. And I can think of theater groups, children's theater groups, all of those. So that's very much in character for the league. And that's one of those, just like Kelton House, that's one of those direct services where the children come and pick up their backpacks. And you probably haven't decided how you'll do that this year, have you?
So organizations, both community partners, as well as, you know, we have an ongoing relationship and partnership with Columbus City Schools. They request a certain number of backpacks. And even with, as you said, all of the other organizations that are now, you know, also providing backpacks, there's always a need.
Always.
Here
always.
In Central Ohio. But we, the team handling the logistics has, I believe, already determined how many backpacks they are giving to the various partners, and now they're just trying to think of innovative and fun ways to distribute the backpacks while, you know, being safe. You know, we have been talking as leadership for the past several months since COVID-19 really, you know, hit Central Ohio about, you know, just making sure that our members and that the Central Ohio community with our events is as safe, you know, that we're handling everything as safely as possible so everybody
sure.
stays healthy. So we were talking about, you know, maybe people pull up in a car and we put the backpacks in, you know, the trunk and do something like that. But we're really trying to you know, sort out the logistics of that
sure.
Right now. We used to do the distribution event, the main distribution event in May, and then have kind of a more public one over the summer. But we were sort of holding off to see, you know, how things, you know, how the COVID-19 situation developed a little bit and see, you know, how we might be able to provide those backpacks. But we do definitely, of course, want to get them to the students who need them before the next school year starts.
I think that's wonderful, and congratulations to the league and to you, because you've the league is known for starting such wonderful projects of service to the community, and then the need is it sort of shines a light on that need, and then others down the line begin to pick up on it. So you're definitely a lead organization, keeping true to leadership and volunteerism and service in the community. I think it's wonderful. And I know there'll be a way, I can already think of different ways that they can be distributed and still stay safe with masks and all of that. Dress for Success. Now, that was a new one to me when I was reading through my email, one correspondence or something, and I saw the Dress for Success. Tell me a little bit about that.
So as you mentioned earlier during our discussion, the Junior League of Columbus has some more direct service that we do. And then we also have opportunities with when we partner with other, you know, really great local organizations here in town. And, you know, there was a desire coming from our members to, you know, give back and to do something a little more tangible while we were all stuck at home for the past 2.5-3 months. And so, some of our members, Nicole Bergman, who I know you've been in
sure,
contact with many
sure.
times, our marketing chair,
yes.
she was kind of the brains behind pulling this together. And we had, once again, using social media during this time when we all have to communicate more virtually, we had an Instagram live session with two of our other members, and they just kind of went through, how to organize your home and, while you're organizing it, finding those items that maybe you no longer need. And so Dress for Success is a wonderful organization that provides, more like business type attire women who can then, feel more confident when they're going on job interviews or, looking for employment. The clothing has to be, relatively recent. It has to be in very good shape. They take shoes and they take, now handbags and jewelry and other items. But it was just a really great opportunity for us to, while we were all at home kind of going a little stir crazy, to still give back to the community. So
give back. I love that. I love it. It's a very dynamic process that you engage in. You're never static. You just keep moving and developing and adding to the list of the ways that the Junior League can give and serve the community. I love that. I was wondering, we asked about membership, and the league was founded in 1923. Mm-hmm. And before we go to break in a few minutes, I just wanted to ask you, we won't get into membership and how you join yet, but am I right if I would just say you have actives, and those are members who are actively participating in everything. And then you have sustainers. And sustainers are those who have given so many years of service, have gone sustaining, but still can be as active or inactive, or they can be, but in that status, they can be very supportive with dues and time or monetary donations or volunteering. Would that be correct in saying that?
Absolutely. So when you are an active member, you are committing to fulfill a placement. So for instance, this year my placement is president, and next year my placement is going to be a sustainer liaison. So hopefully I'll be getting to work with and talk to you or Dr. Pettigrew through that role. But then following that, I plan on going sustainer. So I will have been an active member of between this league, and I had actually transferred from the Junior League of Washington in D.C., so I will have had 13 years of active league experience, and so I will be ready by that point to become a sustaining member of the league, at which time, as you said, I can be as, engaged as I would like, or I could just, help sustain the league and support the organization, through my annual dues.
That's wonderful.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% Black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kicking online at www.ashkickin.com.
Now we back for paying the bills, baby. Maybe we'll fire the landlord. This next song is dedicated to all the cool cats and...
Attention, Central Ohio.
Stand by for an important message.
Someone once said, these times, like all times, are good times if we just know what to do. Linco Realty says this is the best time to buy or sell a home. because interest rates are the lowest in history. Linco Realty has been providing real estate services for over 40 years in Central Ohio. Let us help you fire your landlord. If you have questions on pre-approvals, credit scores, down payments, financing, down payment assistance programs, schools, or other real estate questions, go to LincoRealty.com or call us at 614-375-2289. Again, 614-375-2BUY. Fire your landlord. Call us at 614-375-2289. Check out LincoRealty.com, then start packing.
At TalkTainmentRadio.com, we don't just talk. We don't just entertain. We've combined talk radio with the latest in online entertainment, with the ability to listen live at no cost 24/7. We are the premier online radio station. Outperforming the digital quality of our competitors, our shows are produced in a state-of-the-art studio by the best radio professionals in the business. Hosting live shows on location at some of the area's greatest and most popular events, we give you exactly what you want to hear with talk radio that matters to you. Join us online at TalkTainmentRadio.com, where you can listen live or play podcasts from the best shows in online talk radio. We give you a reason to come. We give you a reason to stay. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Well, we're back with Faith and Family, and I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com. And like I said earlier, why don't you consider downloading the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet? We have a wonderful guest today talking about a wonderful, wonderful organization called the Junior League of Columbus. And we're talking about the mission and purposes and the ways that the Junior League lives out those their mission and purpose in serving the community. And we're speaking with Kara Newberry, who is the president of the Junior League. And as you can hear, she has her work cut out for her and does a fabulous job. And so I'm just in admiration of the wonderful job she does in leading the Junior League as their president and with her team in leading. Now we're back, Kara. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, I wanted to talk to you about the blanket program. What can you tell us about that?
So as we discussed, we've got, our set community focus, which is, foster care. But we also have other programs that we do. We talked about the backpack program, Kelton House. And then we have what we refer to as quick impacts. So, the partnership, what we did with Dress for Success would be considered a quick impact. And then my very own blanket, another wonderful organization that makes blankets for foster children, is really a quick impact opportunity that our members really enjoy. And normally we get together and we incorporate a social component to that. But this year, once again, we had to be creative. And so there were, packages of blankets to make at the English House, which is the headquarters of the Junior League of Columbus. And members signed up and picked up as many blankets as they were committing to make. And then they made those blankets and you put a nice little note on it, to the child that's going to be receiving the blanket. And it's just, kind of a nice, not only symbolic, but, a tangible reminder that there are those in the community who are there and who, want to, envelop you in their love, right, and make you feel safe and give you, something such as a blanket. So My Very Own Blanket is a wonderful organization. All groups can partner with them. And you pay money for each blanket, and then you make the blankets and provide those back to the organization, and then they go to those children in foster care.
Well, what's nice is those the blankets are free to the children, aren't they?
Absolutely, absolutely, yes.
And they become their own blanket. I was in a blanket circle before all this began with the pandemic, and I did enjoy making the blankets. And we gave the blankets. Our first round of blanket making was for homeless adults at a particular homeless shelter. And then our second round, it was for children first. And then the second round of blanket making was for the adults at the homeless shelter. And everyone got their own blanket and got to keep it when they left the shelter. And so I know how important that kind of gift is, and it's very personal. And it makes the children feel very, very special. So I think it's wonderful that the Junior League is partnering with my very own blanket for this project. And there'll be ways to do it. You're doing it now by picking up the blanket materials and making them and then dropping them off so that they can be distributed. So, you know, there's as my mother used to say, where there's a will, there's a way. So we're just learning to use our imaginations in such a myriad of ways during this time while staying safe. I wanted to pick up on, you said the English House. Now, the English House is where?
So the English House is 583 Franklin Avenue. So when I was talking about Town Street and then where the garden is, and then Franklin Avenue is parallel to Town, so the properties are kind of in a line. So it's the Kelton House Museum and then the garden and then the English House. It's all part of the same property that was owned by the Kelton family and Grace Kelton at the end. And it currently serves, as I said, as the headquarters for the Junior League of Columbus.
That's wonderful. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit, well, quite a bit, in fact, about the Bridge Program. What is that exactly?
So the Junior League of Columbus had been doing some research over the past couple of years to identify our new community focus. And so we spoke with individuals at the Columbus Foundation and did some, you know, local research in the community to determine, you know, where there were some community needs. And then, you know, we always are looking for the Junior League of Columbus size hole that we can fit. And so Bridging the Gap, GAP stands for Guide, Advocate, and Provide. And Bridging the Gap is our community focus that aims to work with local foster youth and those aging out of the foster care system. And then, as I said, guide, advocate, and provide. So, you know, we're still in the process of rolling out. We've kind of made each of those letters into its own project. So there will be placements next league year, which starts July 1st. You can serve on project provide, for instance, or you could serve on project advocate and help in that specific area. But the first part of it, we kind of went backwards, but the first part that we really kind of dove into with the gap is the provide. And so we have been working with Star House, which is, of course, a wonderful organization locally that helps homeless youth and young adults as they're getting ready to open Carol Stewart Village here locally. We have committed to providing household essentials to the 105 youth who are going to be living in that village. And of course, you know, approximately, I think 50% was the latest statistic that I saw of, you know, that age group, 18 to 24 youth, who are homeless were at one time in the foster system, foster care system.
Yes. I am just excited about this program. I think it's so needed. Every time you hear on the news, you know, anything about foster children aging out at 18, your heart just weeps because you know that 18-year-olds are not ready to be out on their own. And they still need shelter. They still need materials to live in those shelters. And they need guidance and support from adults. And so I'm just so pleased that the Junior League of Columbus, Inc. is involved and taking the lead on this aspect for these 105 adults, youth. And their ages are, what, 18 to 24? Is that correct?
That is correct. So those and that's, you know, of course, just one specific group that we've been partnering with, but we are also, you know, exploring our options with partnering with other fantastic local organizations who help youth in, you know, who are in the foster care system or, you know, about to age out of foster care. So, but yes, this initial project, I believe that the first group of individuals is going to be moving in July, so next
month.
And yes, absolutely. And, you know, we were talking about the Junior League size hole. So, you know, right now we're providing household items, you know. As this project gains momentum and picks up, maybe there, you know, maybe it expands at some point. You know, we thought that, you know, I don't know if you remember when you're a young adult moving into, you know, one of your first places, but I remember that I didn't have any, you know, of the actual essentials that I needed, you know.
But what is so wonderful is that, and I want you to, if you're prepared to do that, to give maybe some contact information about that, the fact that, well, I want to say this, too. We'll never know how much this is a preventative because young people out there without support, without community, can easily fall prey to so many things that are there. And we won't talk about those, but I think we can use our imaginations. So I think this program is very helpful in meeting a need, and also in intervention and prevention. And I know when you say essentials, you're talking about what you call them, packets of
right.
essentials for the bedroom, the kitchen, what, and the living room?
Sheets, towels, you know, a laundry basket, you know, plate. You know, just all the different, you know,
things that you need.
Items.
And I don't have before me, I had it, the breakdown and the cost for that. But I would just like to share with our listeners, if you are interested in donating a pot, a pan, a kit that's for the bathroom, two towels and washcloths and that sort of thing, or sheets for the bedroom, and the needs are there, who can they contact?
Well, they can feel free to contact me because I have an easy email account at president@jlcolumbus.org. I'm offering up Terry's services. Terry Butterworth is our president-elect, too. I just passed the gavel to last night, but she will be, you know, manning that email address as of July 1st. But I know that she'll be more than willing to, you know, help facilitate this process as well. The email address, president@jlcolumbus.org.
President@jlcolumbus.org. And simply write in the subject line, would like information about how to donate
Bridging the Gap
program. So I wanted to get that out there because I do know that there will be people listening who will want to know how they can help. Well, our time is winding down, Kara, and it's been very informative to tell about this fantastic organization, the Junior League of Columbus, Inc., and all the wonderful work that the members who are leaders and volunteers do for and in our community. And I know that during this time, you were opening up for membership. So can you tell me, if I want to join the Junior League of Columbus, Inc., how would I go about that?
Absolutely. And, you know, we did cover our mission in the first part of the hour, but
you can repeat it.
I was just going to say, you know, we are an organization of women who are, you know, we empower women, train women to give back to the community, and any woman in Central Ohio, well, you have to be at least 22. There's a minimum age, but there's no maximum age. So
great.
Any woman in Central Ohio who, you know, meets our mission, you know, is dedicated to our mission, mm-hmm. is welcome and invited to join us. We would love to have you as members. We are currently recruiting, so thank you for that plug. You know, recruitment typically happens in the summer. You know, it's supposed to cut off at on the 15th of this month, the 15th of June, but I know that there's a lot of things going on with COVID-19 and everything. So, you know, don't tell everybody else that I said this, but we will probably be able to, you know, add in a few people after the deadline. Like I said, there's no, you know, I know that you might hear about certain organizations or even the league in the past that you had to have a sponsor or somebody in the league currently had
that's right.
to, you know, recommend you.
That's the way it was.
Did you
have, it's very different today.
It's very different. Yeah, my mother actually never joined the Junior League of Columbus because, you know, she didn't really know anybody at the time who was in it, which I think is a shame. But now we do not have any of those requirements. So no matter how you hear about us, we would invite you to reach out, learn more. I'm always happy to talk to anyone who wants to hear more. So you can use that president@jlcolumbus.org email address again, or you can email recruitment@jlcolumbus.org. And our wonderful recruitment team that did a fantastic job pivoting to all virtual events this spring and summer would be more than happy to provide more information on becoming a member of the Junior League of Columbus. So that is just the word recruitment@jlcolumbus.org.
And do you request an application?
It's a very short application. It just sort of gives a little bit of, you know, demographic information. So your name, I think phone number, so that, you know, we can contact you, email address, you know, why you were in, like, where you heard about the league, because we like to know that, you know, just in terms
sure.
of our internal marketing. So where you heard about the league and, you know, just why you were interested in joining the league. But
yes.
It's nothing too invasive or, you know, or difficult, because as we said, we really do want to be, you know, open to all women who want to, you know, develop themselves. I love the Junior League because it's just such a safe place to learn and to receive training. So, you know,
yes.
you might feel, you know, worried that you're going to fail in your day job or, heck, maybe sometimes with your family or different areas, but the Junior League is a safe spot where you can learn and train, and, you know, everything is viewed as kind of a learning experience, a learning opportunity, and that's been one of the best parts for me. As I said, I've been in the Columbus League and the DC League since about, 2007 now?
Okay.
It's just giving women, you know, just this very open place where you can come and join and, you know, socialize, meet other women, but while you are developing yourself and giving back to the community.
And you're sharing. And my children, when they became adults, I didn't know I had said this so much. And they said, yeah, Mom, used to say, to whom much is given, much is required. We grew up with that. You said that all the time. And, of course, they grew up to be wonderful servers of others, as well as taking good care of themselves, which we have to do in order to be able to give. But that is really the basis, I would say, the spiritual basis I would impose on the Junior League, is that it's women who are grateful for the ways that they have been able to live abundantly. And they, out of that gratitude, they want to share others. And I think that is wonderful, don't you?
Absolutely. I think that's, you know, why I joined and, you know, have wonderful members, sustaining members such as yourself, Dr. Pettigrew, but other members who, you know, stay a part of the organization, because I think that we all believe in its mission.
That's right. Well, you know what I'd like to do, Kara? I always end with a poem that kind of fits in, and I think that this does, and I want to read it. I want to thank you so much for being our guest, but I'm going to read this poem, and then I'm going to come back and thank you again. See if you have any last sentence you'd like to say, and then we'll sign off. All right. This is the poem that I'd like to read, Little Acts of Kindness. Little acts of kindness may chase somebody's blues away. A smile, a look, a fond hello is a gift that you can bestow. When a soul is in distress and they send an SOS, a smile can go a long, long way when a life has gone astray. Don't be afraid to say hello or help someone who's feeling low, for smiles will lift one's spirit up, and happiness will fill their cup. Little acts of kindness bring a happiness awakening. So with a smile and actions and a friendly nod, give the gift that comes from God. And that poem was written by Nora M. Bozeman, a layperson, and it's in the Salesian Inspirational Book Series. And I love these because they are so apropos to so many situations. And in reading that, when I was selecting that, I was thinking about the Junior League and the women who do so much. And your works are your smiles, your caring, your empathy. And it's hard work that you do. It's long work. And it's not, as they say, a sprint, but it's a marathon. Look at the Kelton House, 40 years, the backpack, 20 years, and other things that not only you keep doing, but you begin new projects like the Dress for Success or the Blanket Project. So I just think Junior League is an organization that everybody ought to know about, and I'm so glad that you, Kara, have been our guest today on Faith and Family. Is there any sentence that you'd like to say, any parting words that you'd like to say to our listeners?
I just wanted to say what a pleasure it was speaking with you. That was a beautiful poem, and thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Well, you are so very, very welcome. And listeners, remember, once July 1st comes, Kelton House will be open, and you can visit the gardens and wear your mask and keep safe distancing. And when they begin, you can do tours, but they will tell you what the procedures will be. But to stay safe. And then we've talked about the ABC backpack and the community, the partners that the Junior League partners with. We'll let those partners know how those will be distributed. The gardens I've mentioned, and the blanket part, the bridge program for homeless or young people ages 18 to 24 aging out of foster care. Magnificently caring program, giving in one of the deepest ways imaginable, caring and empathy and providing for the material as well as the spiritual. then, of course, there is membership. And you can get an application for the Junior League.
Recruitment@jlcolumbus.org.
Okay. Recruitment@jlcolumbus.org. And get your application and consider the mission of this wonderful organization. And the reason for being part of this organization is to give back and to learn and be trained in wonderful leadership skills. So with that, I will say thank you to you, Kara, and thank you so much for being our guest. Yeah. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.